This is a lecture by L. Ron Hubbard given on the 1st of February, 1954. The title of this lecture is Processing Havingness. This lecture is 63 minutes long. Reproduced by Golden Era Productions.
Okay, this is February 1st, 1954, afternoon lecture. The solvent particles are courage, enjoyment, admiration. These are very solvent. They're very good. They kick together all sorts of things and kick them apart. It might occur to you sometime that you had to let courage or admiration or enjoyment out of something. Or once in a while, a big black shape show up like that, soft sort of a shape, something like that, too pre-clear. He doesn't quite know what to make of this. Tell him puncture it and let the favorable emotion run out. He's liable to get admiration or something like that. He's just saving it. Literally true that somebody could be loved to pieces, or that somebody could enjoy himself to death. And certainly true that many a man can courageously face the world and die in the bargain. Well, now, after running courage processing, one expects that to happen which happens, which is to say that a lot of havingness gets dissolved. One doesn't expect particularly, however, an enormous amount of upset by this, by an auditor who knows what he is doing. That there has been some upset because of this. And so, some of you obviously don't know what you're doing. Now, it's a very remarkable thing that I could give you over and over as many times as I have the basic principles of havingness, what havingness is, the reduction of space resulting in havingness, mock-ups of havingness, havingness being time. And for you still to wonder why individuals get stuck on the time track and wonder why they remain stuck on the time track, that's quite remarkable. I mean, that is a feat. That's quite a feat. And the other, you've had a lot of talk about automaticity. You should know what automaticity is. You should know how to remedy it. And for somebody to go around wildly and dramatically dramatizing frenzy immediately after running courage processing would merely state to an individual that the auditor didn't know what the hell he was doing. Because that is the immediate next step in running courage processing. Frenzy, despair, loss, pain, fear, horror, chagrin. So it just wasn't handled, that's all. Now, going to come down on you with both feet. Of all these processes, the most important processes, the unlimited processes, and the only important subjective process as such that there is having this processing. In order to run having this processing, you've got to be able to run automaticities, which is to say something strange, peculiar, and alarming shows up, almost stops the pre-clear in his tracks. You have to know enough to tell him to put it there three or four more times and go on with having this processing. If you don't know enough to tell him to put it there three or four more times, he'll get stuck with it. An automaticity, a sudden unpredicted motion or object or figure shows up. Just tell him to throw that in there three or four more times, too, and keep on with having this processing. That is not too much to ask. the Cholulas. They cause you to some degree leave a pre-clear stuck in the time track when these wild automaticities show up and the auditor doesn't ask him to even repeat them once or twice just to take the edge of them off. All right. How do you run havingness processing? You better listen, because that's all you're going to run for the rest of this week on anybody, anywhere. I don't care if it bogs you down to purgatory. If you as an auditor are so bad off that you can't have, don't dramatize it by not letting the pre-clear have too. That's about what it amounts to. There isn't any slightest excuse for a single case here to be other than they declared right here at this minute. Right this instant. No slightest excuse. Because the tools are to hand. They are simple enough to understand. And they require the flimsiest, thinnest, most briefly stated directions to use. That you would have to spend any time at all learning how to use these things is remarkable, to say the least. How do you run having this processing? Well, you tell a guy to get an acceptable version of Earth. Let's to get it in simplest form now, an acceptable version of Earth, and deteriorate it until he can accept it or until it bangs in or pops in on him. Now, you want this stuff banging in on him. You don't want him putting it in. Some pre-clear says to you, oh, nothing will snap in on me. Run a little bit of courage processing on them. At least get the immediate, instant barrier out of the road. Run a little bit of unlimited processing on them. When I say a little bit, I mean 3 minutes worth, 2 minutes worth. When I say a whole lot of auditing, I mean an hour's worth. I mean when I just mean a tremendous hard labor at auditing. I mean 5 hours worth. Let's shorten this up. How many hours have we put in here auditing? What have we been doing? All right. Having this processing is run very simply. You tell him to get a version of Earth, deteriorate it somehow, some way, until it can snap in on him. And then you get lots of them. And then you get lots more of them. And then just for variation, you get lots more. Then when the stars suddenly showing up, coming in on the guy, you tell him to get the stars, too. And anything that shows up in terms of mass, you get more of. That's easy, isn't it? And all of a sudden, the pre-clear says, I am about to have a convulsion. Let them flip-flop their body across the floor a few times. And the fellow says, I'm stopped dead in my tracks. I just can't do another thing. You stop him dead in his tracks 3 or 4 times and keep up with the process. I said 3 or 4 times, not 3 or 4 hours. Make him flip-flop across the floor till it doesn't worry him. And how long is that? In my auditing, it's 30 seconds at the maximum. And that's all. Just take the edge of it off. Why do you give it a lick and a promise like this? That isn't thorough, is it? Well, having this processing is thorough. Listen, the only reason he's got an energy pattern with significance in it in re-stimulation is he doesn't have enough energy to compensate for his appetite. That's the only reason he's got a facsimile pulled in on him. It's the only reason he's frantic. He's got a facsimile. We all know about these facsimiles. Well, what the hell is it doing there stuck? What is he doing pressing a FAC 1 against his chest? Why is he in an electronic? Why can't he get rid of these locks? Why does he have a chronic somatic? What's the answer to every question you have asked since you came in to Dianetics or Scientology? It's he ain't got enough energy. That's all. It's energy starvation. That's all. And he'll pull in any kind of energy, anything, just anything. Because he thinks that's all he can have. He can have a FAC 1 because it's a lousy piece of energy. He can have a conception, or he can have a railroad wreck. We can examine all the mechanics of these and understand them. But if you don't grasp them instantly, it doesn't matter, because the only thing that's significant about it is that's all he can have is a railroad wreck. And he can't quite have it, so it stops. And he's got it. And that's not because there's any significance to railroad wrecks or anything else. The only significance is this individual can't have large, dense masses. And not able to have large, dense masses, of course he can't have space, because every automaticity he's got is involved in trying to give him more dense masses than he already has. So the answer to it is give him the largest and mostest dense masses that you can give him. And how long do you give it to him? Until he's well. And how long is that? 3 hours? 5 hours? Certainly no more than that. The most significant and horrible Freudian experience, the most terrific operation, the awfulest engram which we ever spotted on the track will blow through. It'll almost kill your preclear sometimes, but the way to have it really kill him is to stop the process and go into deeper significances. You see how to really butcher him? Interrupt his havingness. Because that's all anything and everything has been doing to him since the beginning of the track, was to interrupt his havingness, which is, of course, interrupt his time. All right, your preclear's stuck in past time. That's because he can't have the future, isn't it? Well, that's good and significant. Well, if he hasn't got enough havingness to balance his bank out, he can't have any future, of course. Because every significance in the entire bank eventually goes into restimulation, because he keeps picking up more and more lousy and useless and worthless pieces of energy and stuffing them in, and they carry big significances. And so we get a phrase from Papa, which is terribly aberrative, a phrase from Mama, which is terrifically aberrative, a phrase from Uncle Oscar, which is tremendously aberrative. You don't even have to run Uncle Oscar. Just run some more planets. Because it tells you this, the individual's hugging in a piece of energy in spite of what it says. The terrible value of energy. If you could hang around the neck of any preclear that sat on the couch a sign that said, an example of the terrible value of energy, you would have diagnosed the case completely. Significances only become significant and only move in on the preclear when he is short of energy. Now, he can create energy, but he's creating it mostly through bypass machineries. Well, he keeps the machines and they keep working in spite of the fact he doesn't need them because they're built out of energy. Now, you say this preclear can't reject anything. That's true. You say this preclear's got to reject everything. Well, you can find something that he can accept in spite of the fact he's got to reject everything. But more important than that, you can find something he can accept that will start pouring in like mad. What is it? Let's get a deteriorated rock, a deteriorated piece of earth, or earth itself, or any mass of any kind, and then move it as rapidly as possible into the biggest and most dense masses that you possibly can, and crowd them in. This is simple auditing, isn't it? You merely keep the confidence of the preclear by not jarring him and racking him around, and you keep tally on what's happening, and when the flow stops, you can say, well, feel a little courage toward it, or feel some enjoyment about it. How much? 3 seconds, 5 seconds worth? Just that much, see? That unlocks the flow again, and away she goes. But you can also unlock the flow by deteriorating the mass. You know, worse condition, more horrible. Now pay attention, because this week that's all you're going to run. Now, remember that there is a series of unlimited processes, such as holding the back corners of the room, six ways to nothingness, and opening procedure. These are unlimited processes. So salt your auditing down here and there with them. But you will err this week in the direction of not running enough havingness, not in the direction of running enough unlimited process. Because we can run in unlimited processes on groups and make sure that we throw one in every 15 minutes or so in group processing. And that's enough to rebalance the boy. Now, occasionally when you start running havingness on an individual, you find out that they're very shaky about what they can have. It's sometimes necessary to run the next to the last step of self-analysis on the individual who is that way, a totally occluded case or something. You know that you're actually remedying their havingness with the next to the last step because you're pulling back out of certain incidents desirable emotion. They find out they could have a past. That's all it teaches them. Well, you wouldn't spend too much time on that. You'd get in there and pitch with havingness. Now, let's just do that. Now, what do you do with an individual who's exteriorized? Well, you try to run any process on an individual exteriorized rather than interiorized. Anytime you audit somebody, if you can exteriorize him, why, you run him exteriorized. That's so much better than running him interiorized. There's hardly any comparison. But if you remedy havingness properly, the individual will automatically exteriorize. That's surprising, isn't it? The only thing that's keeping him in is tight lines, and the only reason the lines are tight are because they're made out of energy, and he can't have enough energy, so he's tightened up the lines, and he's actually bleeding the energy out of the residual tension lines between himself and the body. And so the lines are tight, so you get the yo-yo effect. Out he goes, in he goes, out he goes, in he goes. If he goes out, he snaps back in instantly so fast that he really doesn't know he was out. You'll see a fellow being thoughtful about it for a second. Even the worst case you ever process, you say, be 3 feet back of your head, he'd be thoughtful about it for a second. He was out and in. But by golly, the second he did, why, it just released a little tiny bit of energy and he just drank that up. All right, an individual who is very occluded can have blackness of various kinds. They can have blackness, they can have various things. But if you go on the basis now, you see, Dianetics worked when it worked on knocking the significance out of the existing energy. And so the guy was in better shape because he had the significance gone from the existing energy, plus the fact that you were actually, when you ran an engram 8 times, you were actually mocking it up 8 times. So you gave him some more energy, see? When you ran it the other way, on the postulate of get rid of it and all that sort of thing, and you permitted him to just sit there and eat up his ridges and so on, why, he'd get worse. All right, even the most desperately occluded case you ever ran into has got some level of acceptance of havingness. It's up to you to find out what that is. You have to go a long way south sometimes with an individual, and you have to start in sometimes with very insignificant things. Get something he is very certain that he can have. He's quite certain he can have, and start the ball rolling. There's something else he's certain he can have. And if he's very occluded, some black object will start, and you will start rolling, and you'll get snap in. Now, this manifestation of automatic run is something you better pay attention to, because you just start the machine up, the preclear is starting the machine up, and it runs in on him like wildfire. Now, there is the occasional case who does a rejection first before you can get into the havingness. And if all else fails, if you actually can get nothing to snap in, you remember that, if you can get nothing to snap in, why, you get something to snap out. And only let it snap out long enough till you can get something to snap in. We're going to beef this boy up to a point where he can own the universe again. Now, this is an interesting thing. The individual who most hates life is the most starved for it. The individual who most hates the messed universe has the greatest appetite for it. An individual's conflict in interpersonal relations is totally involved with having this. He feels that the mere existence of other life forms will prevent him from having something. I ran into a lady a couple of weeks ago, made an interesting little case history for you. She didn't like Arizona. And this was so strange and peculiar at this season of the year that I said, why don't you like, she didn't know me, anybody. And I said, why don't you like Arizona? What's the matter? Well, yap, yap, yap. And she starts in with the people and so on and so on. And I said, well, see those mountains out there? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And sort of wincing, a little bit of flinching and so forth. I said, what's the matter with them? And she says, well, there's snakes in them. I said, well, can you get pictures when you look at things? She said, yes. Well, why don't you cover them with snakes? Oh, lots of snakes. Lots more snakes. Lots more snakes. Now, I said, now throw a lot of mountains out there. A lot more mountains. A lot more mountains. She says, what are we doing? I said, I don't know. How do you feel? She said, feel all right. I said, how do you like Arizona? She says, it's wonderful. She didn't even know that the process and what I'd asked her to do had any connection with her change of feeling, and didn't even know that her feelings had changed radically. That's Homo sapiens walking around in a fog. Therefore, you should keep your eye on this in running havingness. This one particularly is that a planet or a star are important havingness. And a body is only slightly important connected with them. And a body is only as important as it is dense. No more important than it is dense. Papa is no more important than he is dense. Mama is no more important than the mass she occupies. Your preclear has weight and is unable to regulate his size and density and weight just to the degree that he can't have. Now, when you start in materializing something, if you have a tremendous appetite for it, it's going to soak into you and your bank before you can perceive it. And this is what is happening with a step five. He gets the mock-up. If you ran him for a long time on mock-ups, you would eventually find he would say, you know, I get him there for just a second now. Well, the only trouble is you're not asking him to mock up anything that's on an acceptance level, so it takes quite a while to do. So let's get some kind of an acceptable mass which he can recognize and actually bring in upon himself. Now, when I say automatic flow, I mean that. The individual who's running this ride is getting a constant, continuous, horrendous flood of planets, stars, comets, anything else you want. Getting a terrific flood of these things. In on his body, in on a vacuum point, in on himself as a thetan, you don't happen to give a doggone what they're coming in on. Run him exteriorized if possible. Snap the masses in on him while he's exteriorized if possible. But if they are pouring into the body, let them pour. Now, you're going to find the 5, 6, 8, 10 horrible experiences of the preclear will show up in this process. If you detour to listen to a long story about these things, you're wasting your time and your effectiveness. It's much more fun to go on and see the incidents blow into something enjoyable without even your preclear mocking up enjoyment of them. They do the most horrible things. This fellow says, well, I was in this automobile accident and my wife lost both of her legs and a child was killed and so forth, and my life has never been the same since. Well, you could sit there and be sympathetic and pat his hand if you couldn't do anything effective. Well, it's a funny thing that mocking up large masses of planets will suddenly blow this incident. And he can say, well, it sure was dramatic, and go on to something else. Or he can even get the idea that it was rather enjoyable, really. How do you expect anybody to materialize anything or to materialize any particle of messed energy or to mock anything up if he's so starved for it that the second he puts up anything, it just simply snaps in on him? He's not going to do it, is he? How do you expect anybody to levitate or be able to lighten himself or pick himself up or move objects when every single concentrated effort that he is making is to get enough sustenance or substance out of earth? So he keeps his body and objects pinned right straight to earth. This in itself is the mechanism known as gravity. Appetite, gravity, same thing. A hunger for earth. All right, this individual tells you that he can't survive and so forth, and he's off on the lowest part of the band, sex, and he's having an awful time, and his certainties are terribly poor, and all kinds of things are very unreal and so forth. Doggone it, unreality itself is a lack of mass. Now we say the individual doesn't have enough space. Well, okay, space is the third thing you would run. Mass is the first one. Guy, of course, can't have space if he's trying to make everything dense in order to answer up to a perceived appetite. See? Edis isn't going to look at energy flowing or motion until he gets his masses straightened out. Now, when he got his masses straightened out, then we can straighten out motion. And when he got his motion straightened out, then we can straighten out space. And then he can have space after he's remedied all these other things. Now, he has to be able to get this stuff in tremendous quantities and get it until the automatic machinery quits entirely, until it's just absolutely dead. And then you make him pick up a lot more masses and only then have him move them in. And then you have him duplicate the action of the automatic machinery. Then you start and find out something that he can get rid of. Well, if he can't get rid of anything at that point, if he still can't throw anything away, start it all up again and run it all the way through again until he can finally pick up a planet and throw it away, until he can pick up a lot of masses and throw them away. And then it's the time to stop processing mass when he can throw anything he wants to away and get anything he wants to back. His reality then will be up. His reality will never be up until he can throw something away, until he has an adequate mass. Your next problem, of course, is to give him adequate action. And the next problem after that is adequate space. Spaceation actually belongs after havingness and doingness have been very thoroughly worked over. How do you do doingness? Well, it just sort of follows as a very interesting, easy thing after you've got havingness remedied, because doingness requires a certain amount of used energy. So you have the preclear having mock-ups doing this and mock-ups doing that and so forth. That's about all there is to it. But after you've remedied havingness, the individual is going to be able to exteriorize. But he'll be able to exteriorize best when you've remedied objects and space. You can even neglect doing this. Now, there is your process. And it's a process I want to see you doing. I want you to get experienced with this process. And I don't want you to go deviating in any direction whatsoever to look in for any significance under the sun about anything. And I don't want you to go beating around the brush, getting a long, sad story out of the preclear when you ought to be sitting there auditing havingness. And when the preclear says there's a stuck facsimile right in front of me, I want you to have enough judgment as to when to hit it and when not to. And what do you do if you hit it? Put it up there three more times, now mock up some more planets. Because if you just went on mocking up planets, stars, comets, and other things inflowing, you just kept it up and you ignored that facsimile, it would eventually blow up of its own accord. He'd suddenly say, boom, that's very strange and peculiar, it's just blown up. Now, when things slow down and so forth, sometimes you ask him to run a little enjoyment toward him or a little courage toward him, it suddenly loosens it up. Now, there's where you use the solvent. And that's why I wanted you to be very acquainted with this solvent and this thoroughness. Running a little admiration toward it is less effective. All right.
don't want you to make a mistake about this. Because you could run all over the heavens and earth looking for significances and the deepness and the backness of beyondness of all of this without getting anywhere. Now, I've given you the edge in. That is to say, we have the road with communication, understanding of duplication, the fitting of the dynamics, certainty processing, and the use and handling of these solvents, and that time is stuck together, or two particles stuck together, or two particles stuck apart as a freeze in time. We have this as a background now. And if you want this stuff to all integrate and become very easy now, this is the beginning of this, next to the last week here, let's just bust loose with havingness and roll. And let's get good at this. Let's get real good at this. Getting a pre-clear to find something he can have, or telling him to put something there and then deteriorate it till it snaps in. And the latter is, of course, what you will have to do anyhow. He's got some kind of an automaticity that's going to feed him dense masses. It'll feed it to him. Will you set that loose and let her run? The handling of a preclear does not so much depend upon the preclear's confidence in you. It depends upon your ability to give orders and have them be carried out without a hitch. Your ability to give an order and then have it carried out before you give a second order. Now, do you know why your preclear's postulate machine's jammed? It's because he and others have given so many orders before the ones earlier than those orders could be carried out that the machinery itself is jammed. Papa was a bad papa, not if he punished and laid it on the line, but if he said, now go clean up the backyard, and the second you put your hand on a piece of wood or something to clean up the backyard, he says, no, I think you had better get the rake to the front yard. Why don't you, and then Mama came out and said, why don't you run down to the store for me? And the kid never got a chance to complete an action cycle of work because franticness about orders and directions on the part of his parents. They couldn't give directions, they couldn't give orders. There have been parents that have been tougher than whang leather who have turned out perfectly fine children because they were a terrific certainty, those parents were. When they said something was to be done or something of the sort, they would inexorably go through and see that it was executed. They were interested in execution. And there was a certainty there. But the parent who scatterbrainedly tells the kid one thing and then tells the kid another thing and no orders ever get a chance to be carried out puts an individual in the condition that he can't complete his own cycles of action. Well, don't let this sneak up on you as an auditor. Don't. Just make sure that that cycle of action is carried out. Make sure that it's carried out. If the preclear simply can't do it, don't abandon it. Simply modify it. He doesn't object to a modification, but he objects to an abandonment. And if your preclear is boiling off under the process of havingness, there's something kind of funny going on with regard to the things he's getting. He's either altering them in some way and not telling you what he's doing, or he's off on another process. But bringing in large masses of things will occasionally itself do a reverse boil-off. Actually, you'll see some blow into view and go on out again. You'll occasionally see this happen. But that is not routine. You're sort of running the track backwards on the boy. Havingness. What can the pre-clear have? Well, this goes in with acceptance level. It's what can he accept? But that ties in with something else. That ties in with what will his machinery feed him. And uniformly, his machinery will pour it in on him like an avalanche. Now, what you're trying to start with a pre-clear is this avalanche in terms of heavy masses. And you fish around and deteriorate masses and bring them back up again and so forth until you get it started real good. Now, don't you be worried about making the pre-clear pour it in on himself, because it's right there ready to pour. He's braced against it in some fashion. You shake that brace loose. Several ways to do it. One of the ways to do it, he's trying to pull in, and so you have him be courageous about it. And then go right on with having this processing. You see this now. Courage processing, as itself, will cut having this to ribbons. All right, you're sure of that now. Let's see that it's a solvent. And then let's start rolling. One of the first processes I told you about in one of the earliest lectures I made to this unit and have talked about consistently ever since. Havingness. I audited one of you here for about an hour just for lunch. It was all griefy and upset and so forth. Why don't you say what happened? Okay, what happened? Just give it over, check it over, and say what happened there in the process. Exactly what was run, how was it run?
Well, when I first went in there, of course, I was in tears, in utter state of collapse, could hardly talk, could hardly breathe. And I told you I had run the postulate that only L. Ron Hubbard can save me. And I thought I'd gotten rid of that, but anyway, I came in and asked you for help, and you started running me on havingness.
And how did I do that?
Well, at first you had me put out Mother and bring her in, definite specific objects, and then a mother in the house, childhood home, and then Mother in a nun's garb, because there was a nun creeping in there, and brought that in, and then you asked me to accept an earth, and I couldn't, and you had me deteriorate it till it was just a little wisp of vapor floating around someplace, and I took in the earth that way. And it kept materializing and becoming better and better. And finally, I could take in a whole beautiful earth, and it just kept bombarding me, just like a terrific explosion and stream. And then you had me with planets and stars, and then these facsimiles kept sticking there. And you told me to put that up a couple of times. There were two in particular I couldn't get rid of. And the stars and the planets would come right through these facsimiles, and finally one blew, and you did let me talk for about 30 seconds. And I had to get my story in with my glint of pride, you know, about what had happened to me was worse than happened to anyone else. And then you had me go back again, and oh yes, when it stuck, you said, well, put a little courage around that incident, and now put a little enjoyment around the incident. Just briefly, a couple of seconds, and then we started running some more planets and stars, and they turned into big black planets and then silver planets. And well, I started feeling more wonderful and more wonderful. I started getting terrific heat, and I just sweated from head to foot, just absolutely running. And my throat cleared up, and well, I just feel like a new person, just glowing all over you.
Okay.
And I want to thank you, because it was really like going from a hell, the depths of despair, right up to livingness itself.
Well, good. Thank you. Did you notice a slight increase in your reality, by the way?
Definitely. Everything seemed so unreal before. Now I feel like I've arrived and I'm really here.
Good. Good. This having this process has the effect of bringing somebody to present time simply by making it unnecessary to hold on to all those things that are holding on to past times. I wouldn't say that this was a completed process here in terms of numbers of hours that havingness could still be run, but a marked change takes place. Now, an auditor doesn't run this process occasionally because he's dramatizing that he can't have himself. It's about the only threat the process has. About the only threat it has. Because the simplicity, actually, in making something deteriorate or shaking it up a little bit or running some courage at it or throwing a couple of more. A purple planet comes in suddenly or something of the sort, throw a couple more purple planets in or run some purple planets in, anything like that, and that automaticity will go by the boards. Well, we want to get this avalanche started, and it's a real avalanche. It works. It works, even if you pre-clear simply reaches out and pulls them in on himself. I mean, you don't have to have it happening automatically, you understand. It will work any way that you remedy the havingness. Now, I remedied another case not too long ago by having him move into, so he could exteriorize out of, a sofa. The guy got into the sofa and said, "Oh boy." And I suddenly realized, I hadn't realized before where this case was on the tone scale, because I was working the case just very, very quickly, and that was sure an index. Oh boy, a sofa, nice mass, you know, all beautiful, beautiful mass. Here we go. So by the time we got through, we had wrapped all the furniture in town around him, and then all the earths we could possibly get on him, and then all the suns that we could make him mock up, and all these things got conjoined together in a great big mass, and he started decorating it with Christmas tree ornaments. Well, this was a valuable mass, real pretty. Needed more mass run at the time I parted with the case. The case entirely changed complexion, however. Okay, I don't have very much to add to that. The woof and the warp and pattern and plan with what we're dealing here. We've got an awful lot of background here now. Should know what an automaticity is. Now it's time for you to learn about the birds and the bees. And that is that any mass is a good mass. As long as it's mass, as long as it's mass, as long as it's slurp. Now, a person has been taught carefully that he doesn't own the earth. There are even cliches about this, you see. And so on. It's the only way you could keep a slave a slave. You see, the fellow who really owns the earth won't manage it. Doesn't need managing. He owns it. He owns it as it is and is interested in watching it as it does. People only start madly hashing existence apart when they can't have existence. Okay. I say the only real error you could make in auditing is just to fail to follow through on an order. You tell the pre-clear, "All right, now let's get a mock-up of Earth." He says, "I can't." You don't at that moment tell him to grab the two anchor points at the back of the room. You say, "All right, get a mock-up of, what can you get a mock-up of an apple?" Yeah, maybe. How about a wormy apple? Yeah. Yeah, one that's half-eaten. I can get a wormy, half-eaten apple with a worm in it. With a worm bit half and two in it. What's worse than a worm and an apple? A half a worm and an apple, of course. And so the order is changed, you see, on a very gradient scale. You don't give him a failure. If you keep giving him loses, he'll get into real foul condition. If you keep giving him loses. So pilot to him on that. You can cut a communication line with a pre-clear, by the way, by seeming to be completely unsympathetic with what they're trying to communicate to you. And you can also cut an auditing session to ribbons by letting the pre-clear talk and talk and talk and talk and talk. One of the biggest problems an auditor has is the communication problem with the preclear, whereby the preclear won't communicate enough or the preclear communicates too much. Neither one of them impede auditing. Now, where we have a aberee, we got a guy that ain't got. And the way to fix him up is to fix him up so he can have. And not only so that he can just have these large masses and keep them, but so he can have these large masses. I hate to tell you this, but since we're going for operating Thetan, it's very funny to come up with a technique, which apparently is a technique that would go for way down scale. He better have full memory of his track, folks. And this is the way you give it back to him. I don't say that you'll suddenly turn up with a full memory of your track, because it's very possible that your auditor won't audit you that long, because it takes a lot of mass. But remember that it's mass. It is not the kind of mass. It is mass. The biggest and mostest masses, and the fastest return into the individual of these masses, is our goal. When I said in the factors that beauty and ugliness were matters of consideration, that bad and good were matters of consideration, I wasn't writing lightly. It's demonstrable that these things are matters of consideration, because any mass is desirable. There is no such thing as a bad mass, not to a Thetan. I don't care what it is. Now, he gets into a very nicely trained pattern whereby his criteria and his play is calling for the role that in this role we must consider disease bad. Disease is now bad in this role. Okay, disease is bad. That's just a little temporary rule of the game. Resistances, people becoming what they resist and that sort of thing, is on this matter consideration. I mustn't become that because that's bad and so forth. Well, what's happened? The fellow's been denied all the mass of which that thing consisted. See, you can't have that because that's bad. Well, that means you can't have that mass. Any sensation's better than no sensation. Any mass is better than no mass. Any space is better than no space. And here we go. Well, after you've remedied mass, we can talk some more about it. But I don't think there's anything that you will fall over or trip into now which will exceed the pound, pound, pound that I have been doing on these fundamentals. Automaticity. What's an automaticity? So as we run this thing, the fellow starts to flip-flop around. You know, he's getting frantic. You know where he slid to. He slid off the courage band down into the fear band. This is easy as pie. That's where he is. And fear of what? Fear of loss of control of the body as he runs this. Well, so you make the body do the flip-flops. You just have him walk up the body doing flip-flops, or make the body sitting right there do flip-flops. Out of control flip-flops. Or he all of a sudden gets these things that are getting very rigid, and he's feeling more and more rigid. We'll just have him get rigid two or three times. And pass along, go along to the next whistling post. You're dealing with something that's very easy, but because you like to be deep, you like to be complex, you like to be a mystery, you'd hate to think that you're lying out there on the most simple chart that anybody could ever draw. And that chart simply says, anything is better than nothing. Any mass is better than no mass, and the denser the better. And the significance is holding close to the preclear because it happens to be contained as a pattern in the energy which the preclear thinks he's got to have. Give the preclear a method to separate the significance out of the energy, and he'll do it like a shot. That's Dianetics, very popular. You separate the significance out of the energy, and you have the energy. Well, your pair of people that won't exteriorize are going through this same deal. If you've ever noticed that a sudden loss caused a feeling of great unreality to come over you, then you should realize that a sudden
loss, or a slow loss, will bring about an unreality. And so they will. And it brings about the dwindling spiral. And what's to be remedied there in terms of loss is not the emotional stress and not the postulate about the loss and nothing about the loss, any way, shape, or form, except the mass connection of the loss. And that's all that's important about the loss. So much mass disappeared. Now, the individual who goes unconscious is experiencing loss on a rebound. I showed you that this morning. He hits the wall and bounces back off the wall. It's the loss of the impact which makes him unconscious, not the impact itself. Sounds funny, isn't it? But there is his unreality, and his unconsciousness is after the impact, not before the impact. Friends, one day I was running an individual, and he kept doping off. He kept floundering around, doping off, and having a rough time of it, and life seemed very cruel to him. And we weren't getting too far on the thing. And we were obviously in the middle of an engram somewhere. And come to find out, he had had an appendectomy. The ether didn't bother him, and nothing else bothered him. The pain didn't seem to bother him. We couldn't find anything that bothered him except one. He lost a part of the mass of the body. And that was what he was boiling off on. He wasn't boiling off on the ether. Because the second we started to stuff appendixes back there where the appendix had been taken out, we almost immediately experienced a resurgence from this unconsciousness condition. And just to make a test of it, I gave him other types of masses and so forth, and we were getting a gunshot on it. You know, and we were getting the whole thing, all kinds of things started coming off, but just this one operation, it was completely wiped out simply by restoring the fellow's appendixes, and we only had to give him about 50 appendixes before he was clean out of the operation. It was the loss of the appendix that counted, not the ether. I believe it's the thought of the loss which starts to knock them unconscious before the ether can hit them, because I don't think a person can be rendered unconscious by ether myself. Well, now, if you find this difficult, auditing, you better ask yourself the question, how much do I want this pre-clear to have anyway? Cute question, huh? Mean. As an auditor who hasn't had his havingness remedied, he will just sit there sometime and drool over this process. It's very upsetting to him. And then when he's audited, well, you find the session that he's given the pre-clear running out first. But it runs out. Now, this is the process which remedies with great ease. I've been saying this for a long time and haven't brought it up much except to these clinical units. But this is the process that remedies Book One and anything that's in it. And everything that's in Book One will be found running off, and you'll find all sorts of weird and interesting things occurring. But we don't care how many weird and interesting things occurring. We're just trying to restore the havingness of the individual, and that's all we're interested in. So we want this stuff to avalanche in. We want the GE to get nice and replete, and we want him to get all set, and we want everybody to get all set up and real cheerful and happy, and this is what you're going to do for the rest of the week, and this is what you're going to do in group processes, with this single difference. In the group processes particularly, at least every 10 or 15 minutes, throw in a good, nice, solid, unlimited process. Hold on to the back anchor points of the room. Six ways to nothingness. Get three sensations in the body you're sure of, and something on this order. Unlimited processes. Or the next to the last list in self-analysis, and count on the group processing session to pick up any bulls, blunders, re-stimulations, or sudden session endings that would have occurred otherwise. I see no reason why these things should occur, but you people can do anything. Okay, now, are there any specific questions about this process? Yes. When do you stop running them? Well, I covered that a little earlier. I'll go over it again. Yeah, when the automaticity, that's the snap-in, the avalanche. You get the fellow stuff snapping in on him, snapping in. You get it snapping in until this is remedied. You find it, start it, keep it rolling, and then
You'll find out it'll eventually slow down. Well, you don't slow it down. You just keep it going. And then you have the pre-clear start it and have the pre-clear do it more and more and more and more until the pre-clear is giving them to himself at the same rate of avalanche as the automatic bank was giving it to him. And you've got the automaticity of this type of having this worked out in its entirety. You do the same thing on rejection. You start to waste something, and all of a sudden stuff starts to pour away from him like mad. You just let it pour away from him, that's all. It pours away and pours away and pours away, and then it'll slow down after a while. And then it'll finally kind of come to a stop, and you have him then start throwing the stuff, mocking it up, and throwing it away from him again. But that is an inferior technique to the other one. You don't have to worry so much what happens on the reject as what happens on the income. This income is real important. Now, that's the biggest automaticity there is in the bank, so you trigger it, and you get it rolling, and you'll have it. Papa's death and the loss of the old farm and the loss of proprietorship of New York City in 1720 and the loss of the pair of earrings and the sexual libido theory of the left-hand lobotomy, these things will all fly off. And they will go away. You'll see FAC 1s and FAC 20s. It doesn't matter what you see coming off the bank. It's just energy with a pattern on it. It's too bad that it has a pattern on it. Remember that the pre-clear does not depend upon this pattern for his memory. His memory is wholly devoted to seeing or feeling out of this energy what's happened to him. That's memory. If a fellow knows what happens on the track, he doesn't have to remember it. He doesn't have to tie a piece of string around his finger and look at the piece of string. He gets into this condition when havingness is reduced so that the energy pattern starts to show up. Then he gets the reason which follows in after the action, and the reason why comes in. Why does he have these energy patterns? What are they doing showing up? Well, obviously he needs them to remember. He reasons it all out. Wonderful mechanisms, reason. All right. When memory comes in, it's because havingness has already come down. You want to restore knowingness on the whole track, then you'd better restore havingness. It's much more important to remedy the income than the outgo. A person isn't going to be able to get rid of one single lock who's real bad off on the subject of appetite. You keep going over this foolish lock. How many times had auditors audited those incidents that we were talking about there? Yeah, two facsimiles processed over and over and over and still stuck, 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 stuck. But we sure got planets roaring through them.
Yeah, but
sure. Well, we have numerous examples of this sitting around. It's a process which I customarily use when I'm... there's several I use, actually. But I have never given up hope of cutting short havingness. Therefore, I talk about other things so as to leave you not badly grounded. If other material suddenly shows up on the line, it's not new and strange to you. You're grounded in this basic theory because there's upper echelon material in havingness. But the cockeyed process of havingness just keeps walking in and demonstrating its efficacy, come hell, high water, theory, or whatnot. Doesn't matter what theories are applied or anything else. Of course, we got there to havingness itself on theories. It doesn't violate any theory that we have and so forth. It just happens to be fantastically workable. Now, it's the only thing that really recommends its workability. And it doesn't mean that someday or other we might not find another process that works and cuts the bank to pieces much quicker or does something else or remedies that. But until that is well proven and delivered into your hands, my conclusion, and having watched you audit and watched the states of your cases over the last little while here, is that the only thing I can really put in your hands is a lead pipe cinch. And so let's use the lead pipe cinch, huh? I frankly don't think your cases are ever going to resolve entirely until you have this lead pipe cinch handled. We don't have to hold our little finger in any particular position to audit this. You just do a good job of auditing. You stay interested in the pre-clear, and you keep the stuff running. Your total inventiveness is to get something to improve, or in the case of rejection, you generally have to improve things until they're unattainable, and so they reject. Or on acceptance, deteriorate things until they're obtainable. But the only place where you're going to get any strain put on you is to get the thing which the pre-clear can accept and has some idea he can have, and then get a lot of those and so on. And it'll get a little bit tough in trying to kick one of these fives around far enough so that he will at least be able to get a black mock-up of some sort or another, or something which will start to pour in on him. But this condition will be remedied. He'll, by the way, quit on you rather rapidly, because he's going to be afraid he's going to get sick. He'll try to knock off. Because don't mistake it, you're going to turn on worse somatics on lots of pre-clears with this type of process than you've ever turned on with E-meters and just looking for them. It can get real vicious, this process can. Real vicious. I've seen a pre-clear actually go into a convulsion and knock over three or four chairs and so forth, with me sitting there calmly saying, now make the body flip-flop around a couple of more times. Okay, now mock up four more earths and snap them together. Now mock up eight again. Now get those going. Okay, and he's lying there wheezing and half-screaming and so on. He gets the process started, however. Because remember that no matter what the body seems to be doing, why, the thetan is still fairly alert. And the thetan is doing this process. Any questions about this?
Is it feasible to run this upon yourself?
Is it feasible to run this upon yourself? There is a case diagnosis. Yeah, it's possible to run this on yourself. When you're a step one, exteriorized and close to operating thetan. Because the individual who starts to run it on himself will start running it on himself out in the street or in the car or someplace or another. And the next cockeyed thing you know, he's doped off and he starts running another circuit, and then he runs something halfway through and he gets this avalanche going, and then he has to stop because he's going to do something or other and so forth. And it gets to be a very messy proposition, honest.
Okay.